and translated it very literally and mostly incorrectly, as we're going to see now. So what is Yumayseilam? What does it mean Zechor? What does it mean Binu? Who is Avicha? Who is Zikeinecha? Let's take a look. We'll start with Rashi. Zechor Yumayseilam. Remember the days of yore. Who? Whose days? Which days are we remembering? And what are we remembering? Is it just like a general imperative that we should be aware of our history? We should learn from our history? Is that like a Jewish thing? Is it like a sacred thing? You have to learn history? Really? You think that's the 614th mitzvah? Learn your history?
Absolutely.
No, absolutely not.
You wouldn't be Jews without history.
I understand you wouldn't be Jews without history. But there's no mitzvah to study history.
You have to learn it.
It doesn't say anywhere we should study history. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say we should study history. What does it say? It says Zechor Yumayseilam. So let's take a look and see what Rashi says. No, it doesn't say Torah. It says Yumayseilam. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, remember me'asa harishayim. Remember what the earlier generations did. What did they do? Sheikh Isu lefanav, that they incited Hashem's anger. They brought Hashem's anger onto themselves. Now Binu comes from the word of contemplation. The word bina, which means understanding, is also related to the Hebrew word hidbonenut, which means meditation. That's a word that makes people uncomfortable. Contemplation. To think deeply. To review. So this careful thought, what should we be ruminating about? Rashi says we talk here about Dor Enosh, the generation of Enosh. And that's when idolatry reached its real zenith. That's where it began, actually. See, Enosh came along and he said, God is very, very great. It's very far away. And because he's so far away, we need to make it a little bit more practical. We need to make him a little more tangible. So if we can only flesh him in a little, if we can only give him some kind of form, if we can only give him something we can see, something we can touch or feel, or at least get our wrap our heads around, then we could have a much more profound relationship with divine beings. And anyway, God has afforded them great prominence. And that's why it began with the stars. He said he put them in the heavens. They control everything. You can tell time. You can tell the future. And there's something to astrology. It's not simple. So they said, okay, this is something we should worship. Of course, worshiping the God of all gods. But in the meantime, we're not going to focus on the God of all gods because he's too far away. We're going to focus on our intermediaries. And the intermediaries will become our godheads. It should sound very familiar for Western civilization. That's what Enosh did very successfully, very tragically. And what happened is, at that time, Heitzif Aleihem Mei Ukiyonis, Hashem made an enormous tsunami go over most of the world. Now, this is not known. This is not the Great Flood. No, this is not the Great Flood. This is it. This is Enosh. Mabel is Noach. Generations later. So this started proliferating. The society became immoral, in the sense it became idolatrous. And Hashem caused a massive tsunami to come in from the Mediterranean, which is part of the Atlantic Ocean. And that's where the cradle of civilization was, in Mesopotamia. Enormous, enormous losses. Did the people learn? Unfortunately, they did not. And they continued to go in their miserable ways until in the end, Hashem brought much more than tsunamis, but intense rain and geysers, and that was the destruction of the civilized world as we know it. That's the story of the Mabel. As Rashi says, V'doir ha-Mabel, and the generation of the Mabel. So obviously it's a separate thing. First tsunami is not the same as the flood, because Rashi puts them in two categories. One is the time of Enosh, one is the time of Noach. Sheshatfam, that they were entirely destroyed. Why were they destroyed? Because they rebelled against Hashem. So what happens in the long run if we rebel against Hashem? If a society becomes godless, if a society becomes godless and denies the presence of God continuously, perniciously, eventually, they will bring disaster upon themselves. That's always happened. That's the meaning of learn from history. Learn from historical precedents. Understand that you cannot ignore God and you cannot, so to speak, chase God out of his home and expect that no consequences will unfold as a result. Davar Acher, this is one interpretation, and Rashi himself is not satisfied with that as the Pshuto Shel Mikra, this straightforward interpretation or understanding of it. So he says there is another way of understanding this, and the other way of understanding there's an idea of Zechor Yimot Olam and Bino Shnais Devadir, the idea of days of yore, the idea of the years, of the generational years. Lo Inasatem Levavchem Al Sha'ovar. You didn't place your heart. You didn't really give attention. didn't connect yourself to what happened in the past. And because you didn't do this, binushnais devader, you didn't really look into the years, the generational years, lahakir, to notice, lahaba, so that you'll go forward in the future, sheyesh biyadi lehetiv lachem, that Hashem has within his wherewithal to give good to you, ulahanche lachem, and to give you wondrous things for yemais hamashiach v'ha'ilam haba. So some people only look back. And in the second interpretation, Rashi says, the idea of Zechor Yom HaSeilam and the idea of Binu Shneis Devedir is not about the present, but rather it's about the future. So if Hashem rewarded or punished in the past, and now we look carefully at this, and we analyze this, and we understand it, we will be able to come to the conclusion that in the end, all the things Hashem promised will come true. So this is kind of back to the future. This is kind of back to the future because here the limud or the learning we're supposed to derive from history is from historical precedents. We should be able to project forward and understand that in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring good things as long as we behave. So this is kind of, you can either say, don't do such and such and such, or these bad things are going to happen. And that's, nobody wants to hear about bad things. Or we can say, look at the prize. Look at where we're going. Look at the destination. When you look at the destination, so a person will say, the destination is going to be so extraordinary, so wondrous. How do we know that? From history. So if it could be an extraordinary destination in the future, so in that case, we should be very careful about the way we behave now. That's the Dover Acher. It's a very, very subtle difference in the words of Rashi, but clearly that has to be the difference between the two approaches. Because one he's speaking about, he gives a historical precedence for the past, and the other he gives historical, not historical, but logical conclusions for the future.
Extrapolation.
By extrapolation. Right. It's not interpolation, because we're not talking about a particular moment. We don't have two poles, but we only have forward projecting. I would also add that the two interpretations are not exclusive from one another, because you can only project forward if you have precedent to draw on. So when you're looking back at the precedent, you look at back precedent, and you can project forward. Okay, but the question is, what's the emphasis? Is the emphasis living in the past, or living with the past, or is the emphasis living with the future? This is the question.
Learning from the past.
Learning from the past to live with the future. Sha'al avicha. So now we've explained on a literal level the notion of Zechor Yom HaSeilam and Binu Shneis Devedir. Should we be backward focused or should we be forward focused? Should we be projecting on a glorious future? Should we be learning from an inglorious past? Now I have to tell you that not everybody agrees with Rashi. This should come as a great surprise to you. The Ibn Ezra, for example, says, just remember what happened. He's kind of like on your page, Tom. He said, let's learn from history. Don't forget history. Remember. And if you forget, ask your grandparents. They'll remind you. Somebody will always remember. Ask somebody who's a little older, they'll remind you. Don't forget what happened. Ramban says that we talk here about Yemos Olam Asheshes Mebereshes. That's the meaning of Yemot Olam, the days of the world, literally the days of creation of the world. So remember the days the world is created. And this is the wondrous goodness that God did in bringing the world into existence during its initial days of formation. That's the emphasis. Israel days of formation. And then that's Zechor. What's Binu? What's then contemplate or understand? What happened to Yisrael since the Shekhinah came upon them. So in other words, from Ramban's perspective, there are two major paradigm shifts. First is Bereshis Bara. Hashem creates a world, and that's something we should think about. Think about creation. The second is the moment we get the Torah, which includes HaChodesh Zalachem, the first mitzvah, and Yetziyam Mimitzrayim, until we get to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But the point is from where the Shekhinah comes onto us as a nation. So those are the two points. We have a global sense and a parochial sense. There's this universalism of we're looking at the world, and then there's this specific or particularism that we're talking about the Jewish people, our special mission, our having the Shekhinah placed upon us. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya modifies this a little bit. He has a little bit of a different approach. He says, Zechor Yom HaSeilam is from the time of creation. So that's history from creation, all the way up until we become a nation, and then Binu Shneis Devedir, then start to learn Jewish history. So there's world history and there's Jewish history. He says, learn world history and see how Hashem created the world. Learn Jewish history and see how Hashem placed the Shekhinah upon the Jewish people. So it's even more specific in its universalism and particularism from Rabbeinu Bahai's perspective. Ramban's perspective is that Yomei Se'ilim refers specifically to creation, and then we don't talk about the years in between. Interestingly, Rashi would be more in sync with Rabbeinu Bahai, because Ramban is talking about the days of creation, and then he picks up the narrative when the Torah gets given. The problem, of course, on a literal level, I would presume, is how could you remember days that you weren't around for? Nobody was around for Shesh Yismei Bereshis. Oh, the Mechava only come on the sixth day. So how could you could say Zechor Yoim? Maybe somebody, they could have told somebody about that first day at noon when they appeared, or whenever they were created. But how could you say Zechor Yomoy Seilim when Zechor, on a literal level, doesn't make any sense? Ramban would probably respond and say that he doesn't interpret things on a literal level, it's euphemistic. Zechor doesn't mean literally remember. It means learn from. Now Rabbeinu Bahaya really gives us this, just like very broad strokes. He says it's talking about world history. Learn Zechor Yomei Seilim. Remember, from the beginning of creation up until Har Sinai, up until the Jewish people become a nation, that's the universalism, universal history, world history. And then there's a particular history, which is from the Shekhinah. In other words, know world history, know your Jewish history as well. At any rate, Rashi does not subscribe to either notion, and he really is very, very specific here in saying that the notion of what we should learn is specific examples. It's too broad. It's all very broad. This like general ideas of learn world history, learn this, not very, very specific. We're talking here about the exact notion of learn, the notion of what happened to people who didn't listen to Hashem. When a society becomes godless, it will necessarily suffer the consequences. So Rashi's lesson is very, very practical. It's not just this broad idea. Learn world history. What should I learn about history? Which element of history? You figure it out. The Torah's got to give me some specifics. So, Pshuta Shom Mikra, Rashi zeroes it down to a particular element of world history. The Ur HaChaim says that Zechor Yomei Se'ilim is Sheishes Yomei Bereishis. He says like Ramban. He follows the school of thought of Ramban. And he says, you'll see when you analyze creation, you'll see Hashem created the world. And this is a Gevaldika concept. The Ur HaChaim is saying, obviously you can't remember. You can't remember the world's creation. How could you remember? Nobody was there. But he says, analyze it. And this is perhaps more relevant than ever. Because today, when we look at the scientific properties that we are able to identify in the process of a subatomic development of the world as it developed, it's impossible to fathom that this is an accident. The knowledge that science has developed in the last 50 years is astounding. In the 50s, we thought the possibility of a planet that could sustain life was something like 1 in 10. Now we think it's like 1.5 million. Why? Because initially we thought that in order for this life to be sustained, in the first millisecond of that explosion, there had to be 2 criteria met. Now there's something up to like several hundred criteria met within the first millisecond. So the chances of that happening randomly are impossible. And that's the meaning, says the Ur HaChaim. What's Zechor Yomei Se'ilim? How could you remember you weren't there? And like I said, Ur HaChaim maybe was light years ahead of himself, or centuries ahead of himself. Now he's talking about, look at creation. You still think it happened by itself? You'll have to come to the conclusion when you zechor, which doesn't mean remember, but from the Ramban perspective, it means to understand, to look deeply in, not contemplate yet, but still to realize, to recognize. And then binu shnei zder v'der. Then you have to analyze and contemplate the events of the various generations. Once again, he follows the approach of Ramban, and he says, we're talking about the generation that left Mitzrayim. What were the mistakes? What did they do wrong? The generation of the Midbar, the generation that came to Eretz Yisrael, what were their best practices, so to speak? Where did they lose it? And where did they use it? Where was their Jewish potential actualized? And how was it lost? So, for example, we could refer to something like the story of the Meraglim. Very practical story. The story of the Korach's rebellion. Many lessons for us today's day and age. The story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What the people needed to be able to leave Mitzrayim. How they responded when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai, at the foot of the Reed Sea. When prayer is appropriate, and when prayer is just something you're doing because you don't know what else to do, and it's actually not what Hashem wants. These are the things we have to learn.
What we have.
So he says, and who should you ask, says Ur HaChaim. We'll soon go to Rashi, but first I'm going to throw this in. He says, you should ask your father. He says, this is the Nevi'im, and here he's following Rashi's approach. He says, the Nevi'im will be able to prove it to you, that Hashem placed the Shekhinah inside you. Ask Zekeinecha, he says, this is Chachmei Yisrael, because they will be able to explain to you the details of how you should be able to merit the world to come. So Or HaChaim very interestingly balances and sews together the synergy of kind of a Rambanite perspective, also but with a lot of Rashi, but he explains Ramban. Without the Or HaChaim, Ramban is not really well explained. It's not, you don't know what he's talking about. So he explains in a detailed way. Mm-hmm. Now let's go to Rashi. Sha'al Avicha. Ask your father. Why shouldn't you ask your mother? She's usually smarter. What's up with the father? Why it was Sha'al Hoyrecha? Sha'al Avicha? Avicha V'imecha. What's Avicha? So Rashi says that Avicha is not to be taken literally. Why shouldn't it be taken literally? What do you think? Every father's smart? How could you tell every kid, ask your father? My guy said, my father's an idiot. I mean, I respect him and everything, but he doesn't know anything. How could I ask him? How could the Torah make its blanket statement? Say, respect your father. Well, who your father is, you have to honor him, respect him. I get that. How could you say, teach him? He's a simple person. He doesn't have what to teach. How am I supposed to learn from him? And there are many people like that. Many people whose father could teach them. People whose father can teach them. So, no, Shalavicha, ask him anyway. He's going to teach me Narishkeit. Doesn't matter. There's a cute joke they tell that this little boy was sitting in his class in Russia, communist Russia, and the teacher says, who here believes in God? And everybody's hands down, one kid's hand goes up. And he says, you believe in God? And the kid says, yeah, I believe in God. He says, that's ridiculous. We know that it's not true. And the boy says, well, you know it's not true, but I think it's true. He says, who told you that? Why do you believe in it? He says, my parents. He says, and if your parents didn't believe in God, how does the joke go? And he says, and if your parents were idiots, he says, then I wouldn't believe in God. So Rashi says, the Shahal Avicha does not necessarily mean your biological father. Who does it mean then? Elu HaNevi'im. These are the prophets. Shenikroyim Ovis. The prophets are called fathers. K'moy Shenemer Be'Eliyahu. Like it says, Be'Eliyahu HaNavi. That before Eliyahu HaNavi ascends heavenward in a burst of light, which is euphemistically referred to as a chariot of fire, Elisha, who was his disciple, cries out, Ovi, Ovi, my father, my father. Rechev Yisrael, chariot of Israel, Parashav. And that's in other words to say, as if, ask the prophets, because they are likened to the notion of your father. Who then is Zekenecha? If Avicha is not biological, Zekenecha cannot be a biological grandparent. Says Rashi, Elo HaChachamim, these are the sages, which we already learned earlier, that the word Zakin can be an acronym for Zesher Kana Chochma, he who has acquired wisdom. So that's the idea of Zakin. Zakin is the people who are wise. V'yemru Lach, they will tell you. What will they tell you? They will tell you what is Shainis. They will tell you the beginning. Okay. So now we have learned in great detail. We learned what does it mean, Yemay Salem. We have Rashi's approach. We have Ramban's approach. We have Rabbeinu Bechai's approach. We have the way the Or HaChaim sews it all together. And we understand what we're supposed to be learning from. So, you're supposed to be learning history? Well, not exactly. You're supposed to be learning from history. And who should we be asking for this? So Rashi says very clearly, Avicha is the prophet, the prophets, and Zekenecha is the wise.
The Torah teachers.
The Torah teachers, yeah. That's the wise. Now, interestingly enough, the Targum Yoinason, he says Zekenecha is the Sefer Torah. Avicha is the Torah. The Torah is your father, he says. And who is Zekenecha? He says again, it's the Torah. That's the book of the later prophets. So we have the five books of Moses and the later books of Tanakh, which in total are 24 books of Tanakh, five of them from Moshe Rabbeinu, the other 19 from the other prophets. And Targum Yoinason says, look at the Torah. The Torah is your father, the Nevi'im, that's your elder. But that's not pshat. A book is not called a parent. A book is not a person. So nobody follows that approach. Ramban says, cannot be literal. Cannot be literal because we know some fathers don't know how to teach. He says, Mevini Dover, those who understand. The Kliyoker says, no, go back to your father. Okay, it's very hard to understand what he says. Go back to your father. How are you supposed to know? Ramban says, with regard to both of them, Mevini Dover, those who understand. There's people who understand Yomay Seilam, people who understand Dervader. That's who you should ask. But Rashi is very specific. Rashi doesn't just say wise, he divides, he says, this is talking about your father, and this is talking about your grandfather. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. How does Rashi know that Avicha is called Nevi'im, as the prophets? Because there's a pasuk with Eliyahu HaNavi. The problem is, we already encountered this pasuk. Rashi has already quoted this pasuk. Only when Rashi quoted the pasuk last time, he didn't say the word Elio. He just said, as it is written, Shenemar Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael. And furthermore, initially when Rashi mentions this last time, he says, Avi Avi V'goymer, my father, etc. He doesn't say Rechav Yisrael. He doesn't say the chariot of Israel. So clearly there was a shift over here. And a question we might ask is, why is there a shift? And anyway, if Rashi established a principle earlier in Parshas Veschanan, B'chol Mokim HaTeira Koira L'Rav Av, that in every place the Torah calls the Torah teacher our father, and in every place the Torah calls disciples children, and that's actually something which you can go through a whole of Chumash. You will not find anywhere the word Talmud. There's no, it doesn't say Talmud anywhere, nowhere in the scripture. It doesn't say disciple. What does it say? Rashi brought three quotes over there. Three quotes. Early in Veschanan, he brought a quote, first this quote of Eliyahu HaNavi. He brought a quote earlier, from earlier in the Chumash itself. And the quote was that Hashem says, that you are children to Hashem, your God. And the Maharal and Mizrahi and others explain in Rashi over there, that means because Hashem taught you Torah. It doesn't mean Hashem inseminated our mother. That's ridiculous. We don't believe in that. But it means Hashem taught us Torah. So he's called Avicha. And then he brought a pasuk with Chizkiyahu. Three psukim he brought. Three different psukim, which the Rebbe interestingly said, teaches us, is one is Torah, one is Nevi'im, one is Kesuvim. The whole gamut of Tanakh. So the whole gamut of Tanakh is included. And here he brings only one pasuk. He only brings the pasuk. Here he adds the word Eliyahu. Here he says Rechav Yisrael. He doesn't say that earlier. And anyway, he doesn't say B'chol Makim. He doesn't say B'chol every place. He says HaNevi'im, it's Nevi'im. And earlier he had this idea of B'chol Makim, where everywhere in scripture. And this itself has to be understood. Are the prophets the father, or is the Rebbe the father? Something's missing over here. So first of all, who says that every Jew has a Rebbe? Who said that every Jew has a teacher? You cannot come along and say that this is a broad statement, Sha'al Avicha, just like there are people whose father can't teach them, there are people who don't have a teacher. So what should they do? They didn't develop that powerful relationship with the Torah teacher that becomes like a father. They don't have it. A lot of people don't have it. It could be there's more Jews who don't have a Rav than do have a Rav. Nebuch, maybe, it's all fine and good, but how could the Torah speak to a slender segment of the population? If it's a Sha'al Avicha, it has to speak to everybody. What is the Torah saying? So the Rebbe explains this in an incredible way. Page Kuf Tzadik Ches in your Biurim book, Simon Tess, the ninth chapter of Parshas Hazino. Kuf Tzadik Ches. Equivalent of page 198. Dvarim doimim kaysev Rashi b'Parshas Veschanan. Rashi says very similar things in Parshas Veschanan. Ala pasuk v'shinantam levanecha, you should teach your children. He says, harav kari av. The teacher is called the father. Shenemar avi, avi, rechav Yisrael. And he does not add the word uforashav. This is v'goymer. Elo, sha'ashva ben shnei amekeime, ismaireres mispeshailes. When you compare the two, there are a number of questions. When the Rebbe spoke about this, he added many more questions. But here is two of the questions. Two of the questions which Rebbe mentioned, we're going to articulate here. Number one, Rav and Novi enom toirim zeim b'mashmusim. Prophet and Rebbe are not one and the same. Is that one and the same? It's like there could be a Novi who's not your Rebbe. There could be a Rebbe who's not a Novi. So they're not one and the same. It's not interchangeable. Oh yeah, Harav Koriyav, Hanavi Koriyav, the father is called, the Navi is called father. It doesn't say that. And it's not logical, it's not intuitive. So Kate said, Nitan Lilmaid, how could we learn, Mea Mishpat Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael, from the same exact Pasuk, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael, how could we learn, Shabitu Yav, that the terminology in Torah, father, Mishamish Bishtei Ha'iros Gam Yachad, refers to two different ideas. That it's informing you in Parshas Veschanan, that pasuk was telling you that the father is called, that the Rav is called the father. In Parshas Hazinu, it's telling you the prophet's called the father. It doesn't make sense. You can't make it. You pick and choose. Okay, Veschanan. Let's bring up Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, go on our screen, bring up Eliyahu. Oh, this is mamish, such a clear pasuk. This is telling us about the idea that the Rav is an Av. Comes Ves Vahazino, boop, bring up a new thing. Okay, now I'm telling me that the Rav is a Navi. I can make up your mind of here. You want to talk euphemistically, I understand. But in anyway, Rashi and Veschana says, Bechol Makim. In every place, he says. Which, interestingly, the word Navi does appear many times in Torah. And many more times in Tanakh. The word Talmud does not appear. It's always Bonim. And over there, Rashi adds, Ukashem Shah Rav Kari Av, Kacha Talmidim Kurim Bonim. Just like the Rav is called an Av, the teacher is called the father, the students, the disciples are called children. Rashi doesn't add it over here. He doesn't say, Kashem Shah Navi Kach Yisrael, just like the Navi is called the father, so the Jewish people are called. Doesn't say that. So how did this work? It goes one way in parts of Eschanan, it goes another way in parts of Zino. This is like it's a thundering question. Very, very few Mepharshim mention this altogether. Very much speaks about it.
What's the context of each? Isn't that also relevant?
Came a little late, but the context of each is that we're learning. One says learning from learning Torah, and one says learning from history, which we explained in a variety of ways.
Torah is God's the revelation. So when the Navi prophecies, he's also giving God's revelation. So.
I understand. You're suggesting that a Navi is a Rav, but it's not necessarily so. A Navi could be a teacher, but not always is the Navi a teacher.
But any time he prophesies, he's teaching. He's
not always is a Navi.
Giving over the word of God.
That's not always. Giving over the word of God and studying Torah are not always one and the same. When Shaul came to Shmuel HaNavi looking for his donkeys, that wasn't Torah. He was looking for direction. Where are my donkeys? Your donkeys are here and there. It's not Torah. Where's your car keys? Get your clicker. Madua masker Rashi kanakosov. Why does here Rashi mention the pasuk Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael? And he says clearly that it's be'Eliyahu. It's clearly in Rashi. Over here it says k'moisha nemar be'Eliyahu. Prat she'ein yiterech la'asker parts of Eschanan. In parts of Eschanan, he does not mention Eliyahu at all. K'moisha nemar. He says that it's written. Does not mention Eliyahu and Navi's name. Here he mentions Eliyahu and Navi's name. So the Rebbe explains this in an incredible way. The Yesh Lovai. Hakriya Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael. The cry, Father, Father, Chariot of Israel. Who said it?
Elisha.
Nemrai de Elisha. What was Elisha to Eliyahu?
It's a Talmud.
It was a Talmud. Talmud Muvak. He was his primary student. Okay. Mehashimosh Bilashoin Yachid. From the fact that he uses singular tense. He's not speaking on behalf of the Jewish people when he says, Avi, Avi, it seems. He's speaking on behalf of
himself.
My Rebbe, my father. He does, because if he was speaking on behalf of the Jewish people, what should he have said?
Avinu.
Exactly. He said Avinu, Avinu. It doesn't say Avinu. So, mashmasha, kinu, Avi, that the term Avi, who be'ikra, is primarily bitui, is an expression, le'yachas ha'ishi, to the personal relationship. The personal relationship, Shahoya ben Eliyahu le'Elisha, that existed between Eliyahu and Elisha, they had a personal relationship, and that personal relationship is what was motivating and in a sense pushing Elisha to express himself that way. That's what welled up inside him, this incredible emotion. His Rebbe, his father, was a yachas of Rav l'Talmidei. Eliyahu Anavi was indeed a Navi, of course, but he was also a Rebbe. So not every Rebbe is a Navi. Not every Navi is a Rebbe. But for Elisha, Eliyahu HaNavi was Eliyahu HaNavi, and on a personal level, it was Eliyahu Rabbi, Eliyahu my teacher. So in that case, that's what Rashi's quoting in Parshas Ve'eschanan when he says, HaRav Kori Av, that the Rav is called an Av. Why is the Rav called an Av? He's talking about Elisha. Elisha saying, Avi Avi. When he says, Avi Avi, my father, Elisha says, that's a personal expression. Elisha is saying, my father, my Rebbe, my teacher. Yachadim Zeis, along with this, Mikach Sha'abitui Avi Avi, because the words Avi Avi appear in the scripture, Bitzamud Lebitui Rechav Yisrael. It's in one sentence with the terminology of not just father, but also Rechav Yisrael, chariot of Israel. He doesn't say my chariot. He says the chariot of Israel. So because he uses the terminology which is now global, not speaking in a particular way to himself, but he's talking about the nation, Rechav Yisrael, the nation's chariot. So when he says words like that, Nitan Lahavim, we can understand Shenaisef al Mashma Usra Ikris, that in addition to the primary thrust and primary meaning, which is the Kinoi Avi, the meaning my father, which is the primary meaning over here, Elisha expressed himself first and foremost as a disciple, as a student, as a child, first and foremost. So, and along with this, along with the relationship of Av, the Rav, that Eliyahu HaNavi is a parental figure, a father figure, a teacher, a mentor, a guide. In addition to this, it's also, Yesh Lekino, he said, there's also in this expression, there's kind of a subtext. There's another message here. There's a mashmos gam biyachas l'klal yisrael. It's not just personal. It is also national. It is also something which relates to the nation. That lahem shimush k'Eliyahu HaNavi. Their relationship was not as a Rebbe. Eliyahu HaNavi didn't have that many students. He had students. His Tanad Ve'Eliyahu, his Ve'Eliyahu, there's the house of Eliyahu. He had students. Elisha was the most important student. But not all of Israel was a student. But all of Israel received his prophecy. All of Israel was a recipient of his spiritual largesse when he inspired them and he guided them when he brought them to tshuva. So that he was like a Navi to everybody. Therefore, Rashi can learn also the Parsha saying in our Parsha that Nevi'im Nikroim Avis, that the Navi can be called a father. In other words, not the Navi is not always called a father. The Rav is always called an Av. The Rebbe is always a father. If it's your Rebbe, it's your father. A Navi can be called a father. And we see that with Elisha. Because if Elisha was only speaking personally, then the end of the sentence wouldn't have appeared. And that's how Rashi quotes the end of the sentence here. He doesn't just say Avi Avi. He says Rechiv Yisrael, and he adds in Yisrael Uparashov. Why does he add that in? Because that's the subtext that's not the primary message, but it is in a message that's included.
Why?
Because if the idea of Avi Avi was only a personal one, then the notion of Rechiv Yisrael shouldn't have appeared in the same sentence.
But why does it?
Why does it? Because there is an element of Avi for a Navi too. Even though he's not your Rebbe, he's a Navi for the Jewish people. If he's a Navi for the Jewish people, then the word father is not inappropriate.
So Navi is teaching.
A Navi is not teaching per se. And not the Torah will not always refer to a Navi as a father, but the Torah can refer to Navi as a father. When it says teacher, it always says father. When it says Navi, it sometimes says father. And if here we have a situation where it says Shalavicha, go ask your father. And the guy says, but my father doesn't know anything. don't ask him anyway. Ask him anyway. He's a communist. He's going to teach me atheism. Don't worry about it. It's okay. That's not okay. Would we really encourage somebody to learn from his father who's a heretic? Chas v'shalom? We would say you have to respect him and you have to honor him. Don't learn from him. On the contrary, try to teach him. There's such a notion. So when it says Avi, it says Avicha, it has to be speaking about something which is non-biological. If it's something that's to apply across the boards to everybody with this broad statement. So if it's a statement that addresses all of the Jewish people, it cannot be biological. If it cannot be biological, who is it referring to? And here we get to the other problem. The Rebbe doesn't say this, but it would seem to me you cannot say it refers to the Rav, because not every Jew has a Rav. Every Yid has a Rebbe. It's not true. The lucky Yid didn't have a Rebbe. Not every year has a Rebbe, at least in a way that he understands or knows. But nonetheless, there is a relationship between the Navi. The Navi of the generation also is like a father figure. You could call him, even not of the generation, but as a Navi, he could also be called the concept of a father. And from this, Rashi says, that Nevi'im Nikra'im, not B'chol Makam, doesn't say in every place. He says, Nikra'im, they can be referred to, they can be called the idea of Aves.
But only if they teach also? Or
it doesn't say that. The very fact that there is a great Rebbe, a great luminary of the Jewish people, even if he doesn't teach them Torah, but he gives them Hashem's message, and he guides them or inspires them in some global or broad general way, it also makes it, you call him a father. Okedei lechazik ulahatim pirzeh, in order to strengthen and to add depth and dimension to this interpretation. Madgis Rashi Khan Shakasu Zanema Be'Eliyahu. Why Be'Eliyahu? Hamukar Be'ikir K'Eliyahu HaNavi. Everybody knows Eliyahu as HaNavi. That's his last name. He's not Eliyahu HaKoyin, although he was probably, according to most opinions, HaKoyin. We have Eli HaKoyin. We have Shimon HaKoyin. We have Yechanan HaKoyin Gadol. We have Shimon HaTzadik. We have Moshe Rabbeinu. Different David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. Different people have different names. Ezra's a Sefer. But Eliyahu was one of the people who's known as
Hanavi.
There's actually very few people in history who are known as Hanavi. Shmuel is also Shmuel Hanavi. There's very few people who are known as Hanavi. But Eliyahu is one of the people who's known as Hanavi. Doesn't not a prophet. Hanavi, which not means
the
prophet. He was the. And so we see that this idea, that's the Nereb Eliyahu, that over there, and actually therefore Rashi doesn't have to mention this in Ves Chanan, because over there the emphasis is not about Eliyahu being Hanavi. The emphasis is about Eliyahu being Elisha's teacher. So over there it's not necessary. Mashenkin here, we have to speak about Hanavi. Here he says, Nemar the Eliyahu. He doesn't have to say the words Eliyahu Hanavi. Because everybody, you ask a child, Eliyahu, what's the next word he says? Hanavi.
So what about in today's day and age where there's no...
Like, what about in today's day and age? It's a very good question. So the Rebbe actually said in 1991 that Tzadikim of Ruach HaKodesh, it's Al Derech Hanavi. Didn't say that's the din of Nevuah. That's people mixed up and twisted the Rebbe's words. He never said that. But he said that's al derech Nevuah. That tzaddikim that have higher sense of consciousness, like what we call Ruach HaKodesh, like a Rebbe, that's like the Rebbe says al derech Navi. It's like a Navi. Which means that to call the Rebbe a father is meaningful for a chassid, without a question. But it also can be meaningful for Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe was a father figure for Klal Yisrael. As Elie Wiesel said on Gimel Tammuz, he said, I feel like I lost my father all over again. That was his the media cant in Gimel Tammuz. Is Elie Wiesel a chassid? He would tell you he's not a chassid. Did he study the Rebbe's Torah so much? He spent a lot of time, you know, on occasion, a few times talking with the Rebbe. I don't know if he can repeat to you any of the Rebbe's teachings. He's not alive anymore now. Maybe now he could, but I don't know. I don't know if in a stressful lifetime he can actually say over Rashi Sikha or tell you over a Maimon. I don't know. But nonetheless, he still saw the Rebbe. He looked at the Rebbe like a father. And that's actually speaks to this point. When we talk about Hanavi, it doesn't mean something which is the halachic definition of Navi. The word Navi can also be understood in a broader sense to Ruach HaKodesh, to that or a one who functions in a Navi-like reality for future generations.
Correct.
All right? That's pretty cool. So, that is, as they say, today's little lesson.